Let's pray. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you. We bless your name just for who you are. We thank you, oh God. You deserve our highest praise. We thank you, oh God, because you are holy, you're just, you're righteous, you're omnipotent, you're omniscient, oh God. You continue to reign even over our lives. God, even when we don't feel like it, even when we don't act like it, God, you still remain faithful, oh God, to us. And so, God, we give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise. The Bible says that in you we live and we move and we have our very being. So, God, we thank you, oh God, because you said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. God, you are still in control. You are on your throne, oh God. And you reign even over our lives. And God, we thank you, but because to know we have this awesome privilege of relationship and fellowship with you through your son, Jesus Christ, which is through your word. So God, we love you. Oh God, we pray that you stir up the gift that's in us. We pray, oh God, that you prick our very hearts even unto just a deeper love affair with you on tonight. We pray that your word go out with unction and power to penetrate the very hearts of us, oh God. God, that we will hear from you even in teaching, because you said in your word, Lord, it's not by our power, it's not by our might, but Lord, ignite by your spirit. Stir up even somebody going through, even somebody being confused, even somebody, oh God, going through trials and tribulation, even somebody dealing with sin. In their own life, oh God, we pray by your spirit that you speak to the heart of every person under the sound of my voice. God, even deal with me, handle me, oh God, crucify my very flesh. God, that, Lord, you will just continue to have your way in my life. God, we love you. Oh God, you spoke and the worlds were formed. Oh God, you spoke. Jesus stood on the bows of the ship and spoke and rebuked the winds and the waves. He had autonomy over everything, oh God, because he was that very life. He was the creator of all good and perfect things. You are the creator of all good and perfect things. So God, we speak life to these that are your people, even on the phone, God, that we may choose life, that we may live, oh God, and that life can only be found in you. God, we love you and we bless you and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. And for a sec, we pray, let everybody say amen. So we're going to continue. We're going to finish up the shield of faith. I want everybody to turn their attention to Hebrews. Turn your attention to Hebrews, first chapter.
God, who in sundries times and in divers manners spoke in the time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of his majesty on high.
Amen. And verse 4 says, and being made so much better than the angels, as he had and by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than them. Amen. And now you see the word of God. We see here how he is the word of God. And how the word is the word of God that made the world. So we see here in the beginning that God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, and hath in these days spoken to us by his Son, which he has appointed heir of all things. Now, somebody might say, well, brother, I thought we were in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to end up in Ephesians chapter 6. Amen. But when he says here, who being in the brightness, God has spoken to us in these days by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So that's saying he made the worlds by his Son, Jesus Christ, right? And this is who Christ is. who being in the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. And he had by himself purged our sins, right? And sat down at the right hand of God. Amen. Studying today, I made some notes here about Hebrews and those first three verses and who God appointed and who Jesus is, right? Started back we went back to the beginning. We talked about the belt of truth. We talked about a breastplate of righteousness. We talked about our feet shod, the preparation of the gospel of peace. And now we're going to finish up the shield of faith. And so when we talk about how we grow, how do we grow in our faith? How do we grow in our faith, right? And the first thing I want to say, I know I might not have put it on the sheet, is the word, the armor of God must be internalized. Talked about that. It's not external. And God just continues to show me in the word how this armor is to protect, amen, our mind, is to protect our heart, is to protect us in fighting the battle of the old man against the new man. So that's what this armor is. It's spiritual. And when we get the inward man protected, amen, you can run through a brick wall, amen, because nothing by any means shall hurt you. And so we talk about, you know, external versus internal, external attacks versus internal attacks. Satan loves to attack the faith of believers with doubt, depression, stagnation, temptation, fear, worry, and many other destructive emotions. These are the fiery arrows attacking the mind. Paul says that we have this defense called faith. Know your faith is solely of God. We talked about that. I'm not going to spend too much time on that. Your faith comes from God. And guess what, y'all? The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. The word of faith is not engrafted until it's applied. So here on our sheet, when we talk about, we got to hear the word, agree with the word, and then we obey the word. And that's where the word is applied. You see here on our sheet. And then that's where we get engrafted faith. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. Listen, and just write it on your sheet. Take notes. I know we have a sheet, but you can still take notes. You can still take notes. Tonight, we want to talk about engrafted faith. Engrafted faith. Because guess what? When we talk about church on the surface, when we talk about our faith and quoting scripture, it's not enough to be able to quote scripture. You have to be able to live the word. Amen. And so when it takes an engrafted faith of the word of God. And back to our sheet here, three things that we have. Faith comes through our immersion of the word. Amen. That's where faith comes through, our immersion of the word. I already talked about faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. We talked about Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his what? Delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doeth he what? Meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree. It's all the word. It's all the word. And so when we talk about faith comes through our immersion of the word, faith comes through relationship. And so when we talk about this word of God in this Hebrews, but here in the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 1, by faith or by the word of God, it was the word of God that Christ made the worlds, that God made the world, whom the Son in these last days spoken to us, whom is appointed all things through him. Also, verse 2, he made the world. So the world was made by the word of God. Number 2, the word appointed of all things. So who being in the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. Amen. And so Christ was appointed heir of all things. Number three, Christ is the brightness of his glory. That's the word is the brightness of his glory. Number four, the word Jesus Christ. When I say the Jesus Christ of the word, you can't separate Christ from the word. So he is the express image of his person. And that's the express image of the very God that we serve. That's Jesus Christ. Not only that, but number five, he upholds all things by the word of his power. So that means the earth being on his axis, the wind that blows, the trees that grow, the grass that grows, the heartbeat in your body, your breath, your life, it all is upheld by the word of his power. The world sits on his axis and moves around the sun 365 days of the year by the word of his power. So all thing is in control by the very word of God. And not only that, but he purged our sins by his blood and his power. And in number seven, he sat down at the right hand of majesty. And that's all done through the word of God. So that's all in those verses. And then now let's turn to Peter. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for the hastening and the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire. All right, so let's start. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, 3, 3. 2 Peter 3, 3. Knowing this, first, that there shall be those that come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers have fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, whereby the world then was being overflowed with water and perished. And so what he's saying here is it's the word of God that created the heavens and created the world. That's what he's saying in verse 5. Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water, it perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, y'all see that? He says by the same word, which is the creative power, it's Jesus Christ himself, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is what this is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. And the reason why I wanted to just talk about this and the word of God, because we know that, and I'm not going to, we always quote it, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. The Bible says God honors his word above his very name. And at the beginning of time, God spoke the world into existence through his son, Jesus Christ. That's the word of God. So it's because of the word that everything was created. And it's going to be the word of God where Christ will come back. Amen. After the millennium kingdom and everything will be destroyed. Amen. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And the old heaven and the old earth will pass away. And John said there was no more sea. So it's the word that started everything. And guess what, y'all? It's the word that's going to end everything. And there's going to be a new heaven. And there's going to be a new earth. And it's all going to be spoken in a flash by the word of Jesus Christ. And so when we talk about the word of God, right, it's a couple of things I had. When we talk about faith comes by hearing, we talk about the shield of faith. We got to understand the dynamic of our relationship in the word and having the word of God internalized by the spirit. And it's the spirit of God that lives in us. So when we talk about the word of God, by the word, God made the world. Amen. By the word of God, God made man. And it's the word of God that took on flesh and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So when we talk about faith comes through the immersion of the word. And when you think about Jesus Christ, the Ancient of Days, right? Jesus Christ was never born. He always was. Amen. And he's the very I am that Moses talks about. When God told Moses to go tell Pharaoh, he said, who should I say sent me? That's what Moses said to God. God said, I am. Just tell him I am. Amen. When Jesus Christ used them very words, I am, before he was going to the cross, Jesus Christ, they were looking for him. And they said, we want to find him. Jesus wasn't going to lie and say he wasn't there. He said, I am he. And when he said, I am he, the Bible says that a band of soldiers fell back. Five bands of soldiers were there to arrest Christ. Power went out. Virtue went out. Amen. It all went out and they all fell back because they could not behold the glory that exuded out of his very mouth. So we look at the word of God. Guess what, y'all? Jesus Christ is older than his mother. Right? Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is older than his mother. And guess what? He's the same age as his father. And that's something you can't fully wrap your mind around that, right? That in the predeterminate counsel, you had God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in the predeterminate counsel, they determined, Christ determined, that he would take on the Son, that he would come to earth. That's why the Bible calls him the Lamb of God that was slain even before the foundation of the word of the world. So we talk about the word of God. That's powerful. For the word of God formed the heavens of old. And it's the word of God whereby men will be judged. And guess what? We're right smack dab in the middle. So we talk about the word made the world. The word made man. The word took on flesh and we beheld his glory. Amen. And so when we look at this shield of faith and we talk about this word of God and faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And when we look at that, right, and I said it last week, this hearing is not a physical hearing. But it's a hearing of agreement that says, God, you're right. And it's the hearing of conviction where the word comes in and we're convicted unto change and unto agreement and unto repentance. So let's turn back to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 says, verse 7 says, when it says, how shall we descend into the deep? Or that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and even in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shall be saved. Now, it's important. The Lord just had me go back here, but it's important to know that for by grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves, but it's a gift of God. So faith don't even come from you. It's our response to the gospel. And so guess what? What I want to say tonight is if it's by faith, by grace we are saved through faith. If faith is the conduit by which we're saved, guess what? Faith is going to be the conduit by which God keeps us. Amen? By which we're delivered. And it's that faith, it's the faith, it's the engrafted faith where the shield of faith is now used against the enemy. And when he says, have the belt of truth, right? The breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the breastplate, with your feet shod with the gospel of peace. Talks about that also in Isaiah chapter 52, right before 53, talks about the gospel of peace, having our feet shod. But this faith, he says, above all, taking on the shield of faith. So when we talk about the word of God, it's the word, it's the building up by the Spirit to hear and agree. It's the Spirit that ignites faith, and faith is appropriated and applied in our lives. Amen. Faith's got to be appropriated and faith's got to be applied. And it's the word, it's the very word of God, the very breath of Christ that work that we receive through the Spirit, the word of God. Amen. And we talk about this word of God. We three things we got to know about the word, right? The word is truth. The word is truth. And you can just write this down. John 17, 17 says, God, sanctify them by your truth. And then he says, your word. This is Jesus Christ. He prayed in the garden. He says, your word is truth. Amen. And also there are verses in the Bible that talks about the word of God is spirit and it's life. The word of God brings spirit and the word of God brings life. Amen. Let's look at John chapter 3. Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, right? And Nicodemus says to him, Jesus first says in John chapter 3, verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God, right? And then Nicodemus says unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born of the water and the Spirit, amen, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The Bible says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's an unsaved person that only has the first birth. They're unsaved. They have no hope for eternal salvation or eternity in heaven with God. They're flesh. And guess what? They're dead. And we're going to talk about that. They are dead. They're flesh and they are dead. Amen. We were dead in trespasses. Ephesians chapter 2 says we were dead in trespasses and sins. And guess what? You got a little bit of breath in your body. Y'all know, we talk about the hairs of man are numbered. Guess what? Your breath. Your breaths are numbered. And you're a dead man walking if you don't know Jesus Christ. So when we talk about the word of God, we talk about the breath and we talk about the Spirit of God, right? John 3 says, when he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless he's born of the water and the Spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say unto thee, you must be born again. Right? And then my grandfather used to preach this all the time. Amen. But it says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And so when he says we're born again, we're born of the Spirit, when he talks about the word, it's the word, hearing the word, responding by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. It's the word. It's the breath of Christ. It's the word of God that when he told him in Ezekiel, can these dead bones live? It's the word. He said, prophesy. He said, prophesy, prophesy, prophesy to the wind. And as Ezekiel began to prophesy, guess what? Those dead bones, they were fragmented. The head, some arms were by heads, and there were feet up by heads, and the bones were scattered. And when God said, can these bones live? Ezekiel said, only you know. And as he commanded, listen, we're going somewhere. As he commanded Ezekiel to speak the word of God. So when we say faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God is the very word of God that the bones responded to the voice and the preaching. He says prophesy. Prophesy is a little bit more than just teaching. Prophesy is even a little bit more than just preaching. When we preach, we exclaim, we preach. Prophesy is spirit power by hearing that we're convicted and that there's change unto regeneration and salvation unto eternity through the preached word of God. That's why the Bible says, how can they hear unless a preacher? Amen. Without a preacher. And how can he preach unless he be sent? It's the very word of God. Amen. And so we say faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. That's the very faith. No man know where the wind bloweth. No man know where it listeth. But you can hear the sound thereof. You can't speak. You can't see the spirit. No man can see it. But guess what? As we hear the word, and it's not limited to just preaching, although it's preachers that are sent. But when we read the word, when I get in my closet and I read and I take the word in, whether it's heard, whether it's read, whether it's meditated upon, ain't no such thing as just self-proclaimed readers and preachers. You preach to yourself and you save yourself. No, it takes the Lord. Amen. But as we meditate on the word, it's the word of God that brings things that are dead back to life. It's the word of God. It's the word of God that brought those bones that were dead back to life. And they raised up and they became a great, because it was a valley full of dead bones, right? And you know what it was? It was the army of the children of Israel. It was the children of Israel in the valley, the vision that Ezekiel saw. They were going to be held captive in Babylon, but it's the word of his power that goes all the way back to the very beginning. It's the word of his power that Ezekiel, he spoke, he preached, and those words, those bones came back to life. Amen. So he says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it cometh or where it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You can't see your salvation. Guess what? But he lives in you. You can't see regeneration. You can't even see deliverance. Amen. But he lives in you. Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you confidence. I'm going to send one. When he says that in John chapter 14, I'm going to send one like myself. That means Parakletos, another like myself alongside. That means he was not delineated, less than, reduced, less than God. But God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When we're talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God was the number one. Jesus Christ is the number one. And the Holy Spirit was the number one. All equal in every divine work and perfection. They were equal. But they took on less than roles for the redemption of man. And now the Spirit of God now lives in us through his word. That's why when we talk about receive with meekness, what? The engrafted word of God that's able to what? Save your soul. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit that comes in and illuminates. Amen? That's why we say it's not by our power. It's not by our mind, but it's by the Holy Ghost. It's by the Holy Spirit. That's why we say where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, but it takes the Spirit. The Spirit comes in response to one thing. The Spirit don't come in response to what you think. The Spirit don't come in response to what you feel. The Spirit comes by one thing, and that's only the Word of God. The Spirit responds to the Word. The Spirit don't respond to nothing else. And Paul says we grow in grace by the Word of God. Amen. That's how we grow. Just like a babe desires the sincere milk, right? We have to desire this word. And the reason why even people in surface church and people are not growing, because they don't have the word. They're not standing on the word. They're not laying hold of eternal life. To lay hold of eternal life is through the word of God. Amen. So we grow. Man, when you try to give a baby anything, when that baby is hungry, and you try to give that baby a rattle or a toy, and that baby hasn't eaten in hours, a newborn baby, guess what that baby gonna do? That baby gonna spit it out. That baby can only grow by the word of God, by the milk that only a mother can give. And it's the word of God. And so when we talk about it, it's the word that saves us. We're saved by the word. Amen. And the Spirit. And it's the word that's going to keep us. It's the word of God. And it's the word of God, right, that's going to deliver us through the fiery darts of the devil. So when we talk about faith comes through our immersion of the word. Faith comes through relationship. John 14:21. And it's our relationship that the Father makes his abode with us. Amen. And number three is the faith that pulls from the realm of heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's faith. Amen. Let's turn to Romans 5:2. And then we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1. Romans 5:2 and Ephesians chapter 1. Romans 5:2 says this. Listen. When the Bible says walk by faith and not by sight. When the Bible says walk by faith, and by sight is not limited to just your eyeballs. Walk by faith and not by how you feel, not by what you think, not by your emotions. So many people are living their life emotionally and let their emotions take charge. No, we need the word of God. Amen. Romans 5:2 says this. 5:2 says, by whom also we have access. When we talk about faith, faith comes through relationship, because our relationship is really with the word. But it's the faith that I have, it pulls from the realm, amen, of heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Man, we are rich. We are rich. We are rich in Jesus Christ. When the Bible says, set your affection on things above, and not on things of the earth. Amen. For you Our lives are hid in Christ. We are dead. And our lives are hid in Christ Jesus. That's our bank account. That's the graces, the riches. How about the love, my validation, my peace to know who I am? They got so much stuff. The devil is lying to our children to make them think that we need the internet, Instagram, likes, and all these other things to be accepted, to be approved, and to be validated. No, we have it. My validation, regardless of my home life, regardless of how I grew up, regardless of who I, and that's what we're going to talk about. We're getting there. We're going to talk about the shield of faith and this faith of love, this faith of the word of God. It blocks the lies of Satan. Amen. And so when he says, by faith, we have access into this grace, the very riches of Christ himself. We didn't deserve that grace. But the Bible says, listen to this. If the Bible says, for by grace are we saved. Hallelujah. Through faith. That's how we're saved. But guess what? That's how we're saved. And that's how we're kept. We're kept by grace. Amen. So this same grace, the same riches of Christ, we have access by faith. But the problem is, y'all, we can't talk about faith without the word of God, because we draw upon, our faith is built up like bricks building a house, brick by brick by brick by brick, as we get in the word of God and our faith grows in him. Amen. And so he says we had access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's the shield of faith. And the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because guess what? If I'm praying for something I can see, right? And or I can see what I want, that's not faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And it is the evidence. I've got substance and I've got evidence of the things that we can't see. That's faith. Peter had to step on water by faith. We pull those things. We speak those things that were not as though they are by faith. I don't see them, but by faith, I'm claiming it. Amen. This is the confidence that we have if we what? Ask anything according to God's will. It's our faith that lines us up with the will of God. Amen. So it's faith. And so when he says here, listen, it's faith. And when he says here, by whom we have access into this grace, we stand there. We rejoice there in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, that's what that not only so. And not only that, by faith, right? We can glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience. Experience, hope. So when we're going through, burdened down, beat up on your job, attack, guess what? We can stand with our heads held high because we have faith by the grace of God that even though we're tribulate, even though we're going through trial, guess what? It don't matter. It don't matter. Amen. We're peace. When peace passes all understanding, amen, it's the peace of God that passes all understanding. That's what he gives me. Shall guard our heart and our mind through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through what? Prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace that passes all understanding. I'm going through right now. Can't explain it, but I have a joy and a love and a fellowship with Jesus Christ. Keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Amen. And listen, so many people go through life looking, God, just get me out of this storm. God, just get me out of this trial. And people are going through the motions, right? Living from trial to trial, from test to test. God, I need relief. Just get me out. And that's not the only way God's going to bring you out. He's going to bring you out by turning up how much he loves you and what he gave up for you. And that come, we draw upon, listen, and I'm not talking about liberation theology, right? I'm talking about being set free for real, regardless of the trial, regardless of the attack. We have freedom in Jesus Christ. Amen? And so when he talks about tribulation, work of patience, patience, experience, work of hope, hope maketh us not ashamed, because the love of Christ, what he's doing, when he talks about thinking not strange, as some fiery trial is to come upon you, but to know that it's a test of your faith. God tests your faith, and he tries your faith by the fire, that you come out as pure gold. And guess what? When you come out, every round goes higher and higher. The love of God is increased in your heart, because he says here, hope maketh us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For if when we were out of strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8 says, but God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us on that cross. Amen? So let's turn back to Ephesians 6. So when it talks, and I'm going to talk about just briefly, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, right? And so we talk about that as well. The enemy, I talked about the word is truth. God's word is truth. Satan, his whole game is built up on lies. He lied to Eve in the garden. He's the father of lies. And guess what? Even to Jesus Christ, when he tempted Christ, he tried to come at him. He tried to use the word of God, but he left out pieces of the word. Amen? And so that's still a lie. And he'll hide behind the word. But when we talk about this shield of faith, and the arrow, fiery darts of the enemy in this evil day, his goal is to attack our mind. Amen? That's his goal, to attack our mind with lies. That's his goal. And so Christ stood on the word of God. And when those fiery arrows come, we must stand on the word of God. And I talked about this last week, crazy thoughts, all kinds of thoughts that will come and attack our mind. Lustful thoughts, wrong thinking, they'll come. They will come. And so, and I said up here, doubt, depression, anxiety, worry, mental attacks, emotions, these are all fiery arrows that primarily attack the mind. And listen, and I'm going to leave you all with this. This is so important. When these thoughts come to attack our mind, we've got to know that we fight this fight with his word. It's the word of God in us that's built up in us. And it's not so much, every thought that comes into my life, I got to hit it with the scripture. Amen? But it's more of, as we breathe the word of God and live the word and we hide the word, there's an automatic mechanism that's built up in us. There's an automatic defense mechanism, hallelujah, that's built up in the inward man. And it's the inner man that holds up the shield against my mind. And I say it all the time, the natural progression of this world without a relationship, it's more than just to be saved. You have to have a relationship. Without a relationship with Jesus Christ is depression, doom, and insanity. But you've got to be able to have a new man that's built up in the word, that is established, that talks about in Colossians chapter 2, that's established in the faith, where your faith is built up. When things come, attacks come of the mind, guess what? We'll have faith that will shoot down those fiery arrows. Amen? And the biggest, listen, and I'm going to talk about three of the biggest things that the devil tries to attack us with. First of all, he tries to attack us with our consequences. He tries to attack us with that our consequences to sinning aren't as bad because everybody else is doing it. Right? And so we have to have the shield of faith to be built up. Just like Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God on the inside. Amen. He tries to marginalize or decrease the repercussions of sin. And that's why the Bible also says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Amen. Another area where the enemy tries to attack us is guilt. Amen. Guilt. And that's where we have to stand up and know what Christ has done for us. Guilt is a trick, because he'll attack you with guilt. And some of the things that I've got here, when the enemy tries to attack us with guilt and temptation, guess what? We have to know we have the love of Jesus Christ. We have to know we're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, to know that we're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but it's the precious blood of Jesus. We got to know we've been forgiven by the blood of Christ. Man, listen, you'll never be good enough to work for. You've got to know we've got it. He loved us. And there's a verse in Isaiah that God said, I am he who blotted out your transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sin, because guilt will hold you down. And there's so many verses that talks about what we have. Christ is seated on the right hand of God, making intercession for us. He died for us that we would be forgiven, and that he would cast our sins in the sea of forgiveness. And not only that, but another arrow that he gives is that you're not loved. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares about you. They don't like you. Your mama didn't love you. And guess what? Some of it might be true. But you got to know the shield of faith. And that's why I say it's more than just being able to throw a verse at Satan, but it's got to be an anchor of your soul. That, hallelujah, that David said, my soul knows what? Right well. Amen. Your soul has to know right well who you are and of whom you are and how much Jesus Christ loves you. And I'm going to read this one we talked about earlier. We have to lay hold. Listen, y'all write this down. We have to lay hold unto eternal life. Ephesians chapter 1 says this. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Mm-hmm. And so guess what? Just backtracking just for a minute. When we talk about on our sheet, our faith pulls from the realm of heavenly places in Christ. When your cup is filled, by the word of God. When Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, the love of Christ, his prayer for us to know the length, the depth, the width, and the height of the love of Jesus Christ. And to know this love, it passes all knowledge, right? To know this love, that we might be filled. We've got to be filled with that love. So when he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him. How? In love. This is how he loves us. Having predestinated us, the adoption of children, we've been predestinated, we've been adopted unto Jesus Christ according to his good pleasure, to the praise and the glory of his grace, and we're accepted. I'm accepted. We're accepted and we are beloved. Guess what, y'all? We have redemption through his blood. We have the forgiveness of his sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us all wisdom, all prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. We access these riches by faith in Jesus Christ, which comes through the word of God. Amen. So when the devil tries to attack us and tell us that we're not loved, and somebody can say, God couldn't possibly love me after what I've done, the Bible says, God demonstrated his own love toward us, that while we were sinners, Christ died. Somebody could say, I will always be a failure. Guess what the word says? Thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Somebody could say, I am damaged and deserve the bad breaks that I get. Guess what his word says? All glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling and to bring you with the great joy into the glorious presence without a single fault. And also, thanks be unto God who's able to keep us from falling, who's able to present us as faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Amen. That's the Lord. Somebody could say in their mind, these are thoughts, fiery arrows. I don't know if I can go on giving up. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for my weary soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The devil could say, God couldn't possibly forgive me for what I've done. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to cleanse us. Amen. And forgive us of all unrighteousness. Somebody could say, well, God couldn't possibly forget what I have done. As far as the east is from the west, he's able to cast our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. That's Psalms chapter 4, Psalms 103, 112. And listen to this. When we talk about how much Jesus loves us, there's so many scriptures in the Bible. We have to be built up. That's why we teach kids, yes, Jesus loves me. At 4, at 3, at 5. We talk about these scriptures. You are a new creation. Any man being Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are made new. But there are so many scriptures of how Christ loved us. And in 1 John chapter 3, it says, what manner of love is this? That God will call us sons, do have not yet appear what we're going to be. But we know when we see him, we're going to be like him. We are sons of the Most High God. These are all faith scriptures. The Bible is faith. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you. We bless your name to know that you are God all by yourself, and besides you, there is none other. We thank you, oh God, to know that we are in an evil day, to know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. God, we pray for the spirit of insecurity. Oh God, we pray for the spirit of those who are not validated in you, and how the devil comes in to attack our minds to think that we need to be like this, or even our young children that are looking for love in all places of the internet, Instagram, and so many different areas, even the spirit of promiscuity, oh God. Father God, we pray your covering. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that, Lord, your word will continue to go forth in community, that your word will continue to be a standard against the wiles of the devil. And we thank you, oh God, because Paul said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through you to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of who you are, and having a readiness to avenge all disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. God, we thank you to know, oh God, that when we see what's going on in this world, the calamity, the floods, the earthquake, oh God, the earth is groaning, and you are speaking to let us know that we got to get our business straight with you. So God, help us to grow. Help us more than ever to get intimate with you and your word, that we can say, even like David, that you can, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. And God, that you would lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake, that even when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, even when we go through attack after attack after attack, we can put up the shield of faith to know that, God, you are with us, your rod and your staff, they comfort us, that even in the midst of what we can go through, oh God, you prepare a table. We can have fellowship with you in a bad situation, even being attacked on the job or in the home or wherever people are suffering. God, we have fellowship with you. Paul prayed 3 times in the spirit that the thorn would be removed. But you said, nevertheless, you said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. When you spoke and you showed up and you and he grabbed hold, he withdrew upon that grace. It don't say that the thorn was removed. But God, we pray, oh God, that you just grow us up in you, that everything else will pale in comparison, that all we see is you. That's why Paul could be in jail and waiting for his execution, but he told Timothy to bring the parchment, bring your word. Help us to have a relationship like that, that our joy, your joy will flow, your love will flow, your peace will flow in our life, regardless of what the devil tells us, even coming through an attack, even coming through a physical attack, whether it's physical ailments, whether it's bereaved, people missing a loved one, to know that we have you, oh God. And to know that as long as we got you, God, we have everything. Help us, oh God. We pray for the bereaved families that are going through, that you comfort them, oh God. We pray for our leaders and community. We pray for our mothers and community. We pray for our children, our babies. We pray against the spirit of backbiting and gossip and dissension and confusion. Oh God, we pray even a prayer of questioning, that if there's something going wrong, God, that people will take it in prayer, and that they will pray even for leadership of the church. God, help us not to talk about it, but help us to pray about it. And you said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous will avail much. God, we thank you. We come against generational curses, territorial spirits, spirits of fatherlessness, spirits in women that don't feel complete and feel as though they think they need a man. God, let them know. Even like the woman at the well who bumped her head over and over again, but it was not till she met you that you filled her cup. Fill our cups, oh God, with you, with your love, that we will draw upon the riches of your grace. Even our men that are suffering with insecurity, God, we pray for them, that we will know who we are. God, our riches, our Cadillacs can't make us who we are, but we'll know who we are in you. Help us, oh God, as fathers. Help us as parents. Help us as mothers, oh God. We are standing in a lasting evil day. Even today, oh God, being just attacked, even myself, through busyness, oh God. God, I pray that you lead us, that you guide us, that you keep us on the road called straight. Because there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. We appropriate your word, our shield of faith, to protect us and keep us from the wiles of Satan. Even this coronavirus and the mutations, oh God, that are out there. God, we pray your protection, that it is our obedience, that you will continue and give us wisdom, God, that we will hold up, oh God, your word and obey your word through fruition. It's in Jesus' name. And everybody on the line, God, we pray for them. It's in Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen. Amen.